Our topic this evening, Bezer Hashem, I must tell you very clearly that I didn't pick the topic. I saw it on the wall, and I will try to do justice to it. Excuse my voice tonight. I really try to avoid talking about, thank you, topics of Ben Odom L'Chaveiroi Bichlal. I feel that when we talk, a person like myself discusses about davening, about learning Torah, about Emunah. Well, everybody is Jewish and everyone can daven, everyone can learn Torah. But to talk about Ben Odom L'Chaveiroi, you have to be some kind of a mensch. And my father told me many years ago there was Nishke Mensch. You know what that means? Huh? A mensch is a mensch. How could you translate a mensch? Yeah. Nishke Mensch. That's my father used to tell me. Nishke Mensch. What should I say? I can't contradict my daddy. Now, to talk about our topic this evening, anger, kas, is something which I'm not the one to talk about it. I'm not going to describe my midas reyes now in public. It's completely relevant to our issue. I really feel that I'm not the one to do justice to this topic. But since I was dictated the topic, so I have no barrier. I have no way out, and I will discuss a little bit to the best of my ability. I would like to discuss the topic of kas. Everyone knows what kas is, right? Kas is anger. I would like to discuss the topic of kas in the second part of the lecture. But first, discuss an overall concept of the Torah view of the whole concept of Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, of Midos, how a person should have good traits between him and his fellow man. Now, let me start explaining this issue. Now, what is our biggest problem, in my opinion at least, in the whole concept of Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi? Why are we so unsuccessful in our pursuit to have good midas? I think our problem is as follows. We know the Torah is divided into two parts. There are chukim and there are mishpatim. Now, chukim, by definition, are the laws that Hashem gave that we don't know reasons for. It's very famous, Zos Chukas HaTorah, and the most famous one is Parah Adumah. And Rashi says that we don't know the reason for Parah Adumah. And the same as many mitzvahs that we do. No one really understands what a lulav is all about, and what a shofar is all about. And we have very little understanding what tefillin is all about, and surely what tzitzis is all about. And many of the mitzvahs in the Torah are called chukim. Chukim means commandments of Hashem that we don't appreciate a reason for them. The same is true in the lavim, not to eat chazer, not to eat without shechita, etc., etc. The second part of the Torah is Mishpatim. Mishpatim means the laws that Hashem gave that we have an appreciation for, which include not to steal, not to kill, to honor father and mother, and these are the two parts of the Torah, Chukim and Mishpatim, the commandments which we don't know reason for, and the commandments which we have an appreciation that they should be done, And Rashi says, if the Torah would not have commanded us, we would understand it anyways. Now, when the Jewish people stood on Har Sinai, they said, Nase v'nishmo. We will do what Hashem commands us, and we will listen to appreciate. Some of the Mepharshim say that these two categories, Nase v'nishmo, refer to these two categories of mitzvahs. Nase means we will do without understanding. We will do the mitzvahs. And nishma refers to the mitzvahs that we do understand. And it's very famous that the Jewish people were magdim, which means they prefaced, and they put nasa before nishma. Now so far I'm being very boring, even though everything I said is true, but I'm not being very stimulating, right? Now I'm going to try to be a little more interesting. This is our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is that when we come to the mitzvahs that we understand and appreciate, we do them out of understanding and appreciation, and we do them in the capacity of understanding and appreciation. Now let me explain this very clearly. When we talk about a mitzvah like lulav, now no one makes decisions what a lulav is supposed to look like. It's not our decision. I have no idea. I can't figure this out. I look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch tells him what the lulav is supposed to look like. What is a kosher esrig? What is a non-kosher esrig? What is a kosher mezuzah? What is a non-kosher mezuzah? What is kosher meat? What is non-kosher meat? There's no lady who will sit and figure out how to kosher the meat, how much salt to put on, and she decide whether salt or pepper or maybe ginger. It's a chok. It's something which Hashem commands us. It's not something that we understand from our own understanding. So therefore, we look up the Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to a mishpat, over here, I don't need the Shulchan Aruch. I don't need the Shulchan Aruch. I understand it myself. And that's our biggest problem. That we go to the mitzvahs with our understanding, with our capacity, and we don't feel that we have to study the Torah and listen to Hashem, who tells us how to do these mitzvahs. And that is why we fail. Now, really, we must understand that these mitzvahs of Ben Odom Lechaveri are mitzvahs of Hashem. And Hashem tells us in so many words, Ki gavoa shamayim me'oretz, as the heaven is above the earth, ken gavoa drochai midarchechem u'machshevoisei machshevoseichem. As far as the heaven from the earth, that's how far my understanding from your understanding, and my ways from your ways. Now, when it comes to Parah Aduma, we understand that. When it comes to Beradim Lechaveroi, we forget that. Let me bring an example. There's a mitzvah in the Torah of kibud ova'em, to honor father and mother. It's something which we appreciate, and even the goyim appreciated. I think we all know that the goyim, they were the greatest in kibud ova'em. Esav, Don ben Asina, etc. And we are mekayim ova'em. I myself, Hashem should give them long years. My parents, I have wonderful parents who are Baruch Hashem, live in Yerushalayim, and I try to mekayim kibud ova'em. Now, do I have a problem of how to mekayim kibud ova'em? I have no problem. I know once in a while you call up mommy, erev Shabbos, erev Yom Tov, for sure erev Rosh Hashanah. And mommy called me up just the other day, and she wants to visit a doctor. And I didn't have time. I called my brother, and he went to Yerushalayim. He took mommy to a doctor. No problem with kibud ova'em. Now, my dear friends, this is a terrible mistake. When we open the Rambam how the Rambam describes kibud avim, how the Gemara describes kibud avim, which means how Hashem describes kibud avim, it's a completely different ballgame. It's kigavoa shamayim me'oretz. Let me bring an example. The Gemara says, how far are we supposed to give honor to our parents? Now, everyone in this room knows this Gemara. But whoever didn't hear this from me in a previous lecture, I don't believe that you know in particular how the Rambam describes it. The Gemara says, even if his father takes his bag of gold, imagine a young man works hard and he works for a month, he makes, let's say, $2,000 a month or $5,000 a month, and he has to pay the bills, and the boss says, I have no money now, come next month. And next month he gets $10,000 cash. His wife was embarrassed to go to the grocery store. The bank manager called him up and said, I'm going to throw back all your checks. His wife is embarrassed to go to the fruit store. All the stuff is stuck in the cleaners. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This description. And Baruch Hashem, he has $10,000 and he brought home his maskurit. And he walks into the house. Now imagine he walks into his house. Before he goes home, he goes to visit Papa. And he walks into Papa, and Papa says, where were you yesterday? You come to visit me once in 2 days? And he gets angry at him, and he takes the envelope, and he throws it down the sewer. Right? That's the halacha. Now everyone knows this Gemara. But no one knows, I don't know, maybe you do know, how the Rambam describes, the Rambam says in these words. The Rambam says, we say, don't scream at him, don't insult him. The Rambam says these words, v'lo yitztayer bifneihem, which means he shouldn't show pain in front of them. Which means to say, oi, just this word, oi, will make daddy feel bad. Because if you say oi, daddy says, oi, look what I did. You're not even supposed to say oi, you're supposed to say, oh, fine, dad. Now, this is not human, this is God, this is Hashem. Did you ever call up mommy and say, mommy, I don't care if you go to my brother for Shabbos, but I just want you to know that I'm insulted. I just want you to know that I'm insulted. Now, the Rambam describes kibud avim in completely different capacities than we could imagine. Because kibud avim is a mitzvah of God, of Hashem. And Hashem is ki gavoa shemayim v'aretz, is in the heavens, we are in the earth. How do we describe good midos? The overall concept of good traits. The Gemara says that when every one of us will come to the heavenly throne, and Hashem will say to us, did you act nicely in your life? Let me quote the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hashem will say to us, Himlachto es chavercho benachas ruach. Did you make your friend reign over you, a king over you, benachas ruach, graciously? If you did, then you're Jewish. Now, I know you're supposed to be nice. Supposed to say please and thank you. Himlachto es chavercho. Make your friend a king. You know what a king means? Benachas ruach, graciously. Now this is not, how should I say it, you know, human concepts. This is Torah. In the Torah there's a concept of hakaras hatov. Hakaras HaTov.
We know what it means, Taskaras HaTov. Baruch Hashem, I had a wonderful chinuch. I don't know what I did with it, but Mommy taught me to say thank you. Mommy taught me to say thank you. Of course. The Gemara says, just listen to the tzlil, to the ring of it, to the music. Kol ha-poseach pesach lechaveroi nafshei hu chayev loy. If you are invited to someone's house, a person like myself, I came to Eretz Yisrael on Thursday, and I came back from the mountains, from New Jersey after the seminar on Sunday night. All right? For some reason, I have a sister in Flatbush. I couldn't go to my sister's house. So I called Mrs. Gottlieb. Mrs. Gottlieb said, this is the number of the combination, and here's the key, and please feel free. Shall have this is yours. So what do I owe Mrs. Gottlieb? Nafshay, you owe your life. Your life. Nafshay uchayev. This is Torah. Torah has different ways of looking at things. Torah looks completely different. Sisters supposed to love each other. Now, when we go to school, they'll tell us not to bicker, not to pull your sister's hair, not to pull her eyes out. When you go to Beis Yankov, they tell you a different story. There was once two sisters. One is called Rachel, and one is called Leah. Yankov Avinu. We know that there's God, there's Hashem, who is Ein Sof, who is eternal, who is everything. He has a throne, and his throne is held up by the Jewish people. Avram, Yitzhak, v'Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, who is Bechir Sheba Ovois, all the eternity of the whole creation belonged to Yaakov. And this Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel, which means Rachel really had the whole world, the whole God, the whole Hashem. And Rachel didn't want to embarrass her sister. Didn't want to embarrass her sister. And she gave away everything. Now, this is not, I don't know how to say it. This is Torah. Now, I don't want to bring more examples because there are many, many of these examples. Many of these examples. But it's extremely important for us to know. If we, as Jewish people, want to be successful in the Torah concept of Midas Toivis, we have to train our Midas in the atmosphere of Torah, in the atmosphere of Hashem. And that is our biggest problem. That is our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is that we don't feel that we have to be coached on Midas Toivis. We don't feel we have to be coached. That's our problem at home with our wives and husbands. That's our problem with our children. That's our problem with our neighbors. If we would open the Torah and we see how the Torah dictates what it means, good midas, what it means, chesed, what it means to, how should I say it, shtika, to close your mouth. Close your mouth. One of the greatest Midos is called shtika, the concept of, I'm speaking in a very respectable place, but in English they call it to shut up. It's a very, very hard thing to do. And we find in Chazal HaKadosh, how the Chazal describes us these things. The Torah describes a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, lo tikon v'lo titor. I ask my dear audience, what does it mean, lo tikon? Don't take revenge. Can we conceive that? Let us say yes. But what does it mean, lo titor? Lo titor means you should not watch the sinner, the hate, which means as follows. I don't know what muscle to describe, right? Imagine that you have to chves, you have to go out to the country. You have to go out to the country. And you have a flat tire. And you have no jack. You knock on the next door neighbor. I don't even know how to describe it, right? I say to that next door neighbor, would you please lend me a jack? You know, all the stuff is in the trailer. And all the kids are in the car. And you know my station wagon. But kids, sir, I need a jack. You're not going to touch my jack. I mean, we can't even conceive it. So the Torah says that the next day, if he knocks on the door and has the audacity to ask you to lend you your sledgehammer, not only the Torah says that you should not say, well, you know, you're not my friend, but there's a law in the Torah that if you remember his disgusting conduct towards you, how he damaged you, if you even remember, and you say to him, of course, my fellow Jew, of course, it's all yours. But inside you're cooking, it's a love in the Torah, like eating chazer. Now, who is the Torah talking to? The answer is, we can't conceive because we never looked in the Torah. We never opened up the Chumash to know what the Chumash tells us about Midas Reis. And everything I just said now, to put into a nutshell, if we will look open the Torah, how the Torah describes the overall mitzvah of Midas Tovis, the Torah does not say, be kind, there's no such mitzvah. Be modest, don't get angry. The Torah says one mitzvah, and these are the words of the mitzvah. V'halachto bidrochov. You should go in the ways of Hashem. Emulate Hashem. Mahu rachum, af ata rachum. Mahu chanun, af ata chanun. Now this, if we understand for a moment what this means, this is expressing everything I had said. That the Torah does not tell us to be kind, just in the human sense of kindness. Be kind like Hashem, like God. I don't think it's necessary for me to describe it. But when Hashem spills kindness, is there anyone here have an example of Hashem's kindness? Just let me just bring several examples. The concept of air, oxygen. Hashem put air into the world. The concept of rain. The concept of water. You know what a spill of life air is? They're all through the generations there were billions and billions and billions and billions of people and animals and plants inhaling and exhaling and living from Hashem's kindness. This is a spill. Now, your example is a beautiful example. But I can conceive that Hashem watched your pocketbook, and maybe and this Rebbe would also watch your pocketbook. But when I do chesed, do I spill billions, without an end? That's how Hashem does chesed. So when Hashem says we should do chesed, Hashem doesn't say do kindness. Hashem says do what I do. That's what Hashem's mitzvah is. I don't know even how to translate it. It means have the kindness, the eternal kindness of Hashem. I don't know. It's not the word of natural. I'm talking about the quality and the quantity. That's also part of it. Now, all this was an introduction to our subject today of Kas. And maybe the introduction would be even more important than the subject. But this is the introduction, and let me repeat it. that we have to know that when we talk about midos, we have to look up in the Shulchan Aruch, we have to see in the Torah how the Torah describes midos. And it'll be completely a different picture. And I think that this would solve our problems. A completely different picture. When we talk about coming at home, of being, of ha'ores panim, of smiling, it's a big mitzvah to smile. It's a gemara. The concept of smiling, Hashem should give that. You should understand what I'm trying to bring out here. Did you ever walk out in the morning, a fresh morning, and then it becomes a little later, but it's a fresh day, and you see skies, and you see light, and you see people, and you see cars, and you see, it's Hashem smiling. Hashem, the whole world is a big smile. Now many of us don't see this smile, because we're frowning inside. We're so verschwarzt inside, we're so dark inside, we don't see the smile. But the whole world is a smile. The whole world is a smile. Hashem doesn't stop smiling. Walk up and down 13th Avenue, just for a while. Don't buy anything, just look into the stores. Do you know how much delicious food? How many kinds of candies? A shoe store. Did you ever see this? Look into the window of a shoe store. This is Hashem smiling, this patent leather for those little medelach. White patent leather and green patent leather and red patent leather and black patent leather. Did you ever go into a, you don't have to go into a dresser, you can go out our own closet, Baruch Hashem. You open the closet, it's a smile from Hashem. Excuse me? The smile of a baby is the smile of Hashem. That's right. And Hashem doesn't stop smiling for a moment. The concept I don't want to be elaborate because there's no end how we should describe these things. And Hashem says, V'halachta bidrochai. You should go in my ways. I'll tell you something very interesting, which is really off the point. Hashem is called our Father, Avinu Malkeinu. I noticed something very interesting about a parent and a child. Something very interesting. I noticed it yesterday when I was by the seminar. Very interesting. I noticed it in myself very often. You have a little boy who's playing ball. Let's say playing ball. And it says, Tata says, don't play ball. Don't play ball over here, it's dangerous. A little boy, a kleiner pimpernuckle, he's running around. And he's opening the door and they're closing the door. Opening the door and closing the door. And his father says, go away. It's dangerous. You're going to catch your finger. You're going to catch your finger. And he picks him up and he puts him away. And little Yankala goes back. And he picks him up and puts him away. And after 3-4 times, Yankala disregards what Tati says. And all of a sudden, he got his hand caught in the door. He got his finger caught in the door. Did you ever see Tati say, I told you so. If you have to go to the clinic, go by yourself. It just doesn't exist. You understand? If he was wounded, if he got a little petulant, so Tati will say, I told you so. But if it's serious, if he's bleeding, then everything becomes forgotten. And the kid is crying. Did you ever see a child? He doesn't run to his father. He's embarrassed. He's bleeding. He runs to his father. His father picks him up, takes him to the hospital. But it's your fault. Everything becomes lost. And that's how Hashem acts to us. When we're in trouble, Hashem will never say, I told you so. We'll never say that. When we cry to Hashem, we could always cry to Hashem. And if you're in pain, Hashem is there to help you. Hashem is always there to help you. And that's what Hashem says, and you act my ways. Now with your yingle, you know how to act. When it comes to a husband, it comes to a wife, it comes to a neighbor, I told you so. I told you so, you understand? We're very judge-minded. And I think I should I should come to an end with my introduction, and let me come to our discussion. The discussion of today's lecture, as I told you, and as you know, as was advertised, was the concept of kas. Now, everything I introduced was to get to this point, even though, as I said, the introduction is extremely important. We all have the feeling that the concept of kas, and anybody here that doesn't know Hebrew doesn't know what kas is. Kas means getting angry. But the word anger is a shallow word. It's a pale word. Kas is a real juicy word. Kas. It's a juicy word for anger. Now, there are at least 40% of people sitting in that know what it means, kas. I'm sure 60% never, how should I say it? But there are people who know what kas is. So let me discuss for those people who know what kas is, know what it means to get angry, to boil up. We all have the feeling that kas is destructive, kas is wrong, kas brings us no place. We get angry, we blow up, we burn up, we open our mouths, we lose ourselves. We all have this feeling that it's destructive, it brings us no place, it gains nothing. And if we will attack the issue of kas with these feelings, I'm not saying it's something wrong, but that's the wrong way to attack the union of kas. We have to open up the Sfarim, the books of the Torah, and we have to see how the Torah describes kas. Because this Torah has a completely different definition of kas. Now, first, let us see how the Torah describes the quality of kas. And I think it's famous, everyone else knows. Kol ha-ko'es ki'ilu oivid avodah zorah. Now this is a red light. Kol ha-ko'es ki'ilu oivid avodah zorah. This is a new concept. What does that have to do with avodah zorah, with idol worshipping? Ribbono shel olam. Now, I'd like to tell you in a second, help me. Thank you. I want to tell you what it says in the Sefer Kabbalah about kas. Reb Chaim Vital in the Sefer Shari Yechudim, he says what his Rebbe said about kas. And it's something which is very important to know. He said his Rebbe, Daria Kadosh, I think everyone knows the Riyah Kadosh was the greatest sage, the greatest Kabbalah sage of how should I say it, in the last 1,000 years for sure, just about. The teacher of all the Jewish people of Kabbalah. He says, Rebbe Hayamazir Oisi would warn me more than anything else against Kas. And he said something as follows, and I will tell it to you. And again, this is not something which we can figure out. This is something which he teaches us. The Torah teaches us. He says, you should know that when a person gets angry, a person gets in kas, and he bases it on a pasuk, the pasuk says, Torif nafshoi ba'apoi. Torif means, how should I say Torif? A lion is Torif, devour. All right, that's a good word, devour. Torif nafshoi, you devour your soul, your life, ba'apoi, with your kas. And he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. When a person gets in kas, he actually burns out his neshama. And his neshama gets burnt out, and he gets a new different neshama. And he says, therefore, he says, logically speaking, kas is a bigger problem than any other avera. Why? He says, because if you do an avera and you're a tzaddik, let's say you daven 3 times a day for who knows how many years, and you're a tzaddik and you did mitzvahs and you did tikkunim and you purified yourself and you have a pure neshama and you're a great person, and then you forgot yourself, and What should I tell you? You did an aver. What aver did you do? What should I tell you? You forgot to put a mezuzah on your door. You move into an apartment and you forgot to put the mezuzah. It's an aver. So you, this tzaddik, this pure neshama, that worked on himself and purified himself for 50 years of his life, did an aver. An aver is something terrible. It makes a dent. It makes a ketem. How do you say it? It makes a stain in your neshama. When you do tshuva, you wash out your neshama. You perfect your neshama. But when you get in kas, you burn out your neshama. And the whole personality, with all his kedusha and all his holiness and all his greatness, just flies away. And it's a new person. It's a mundane, how should I say it, plain, ugly neshama that comes into you because there's a cavity in you. You're missing your neshama. And he says, it's not going to help you now to do all the mitzvahs in the world because it's just not you. It's a new personality. You lose the whole personality with all its work and all its kedusha and all its mitzvahs just flies away. You burnt yourself up with your kas. Now, this is scary for sure. But it just gives you a new concept how Torah looks at things. Now, we feel that when we get angry, it destroys us. But we don't know to what depth it destroys us. It simply burns us up. It burns us up with our mitzvahs, with our ma'asim tovim. And that's why when a person gets in kas, he loses control of himself. Now we think it's a phenomenon, it's a natural phenomenon. You burn up, you lose control of yourself. But he was saying something much deeper. It's not because you forget yourself. It's because your whole personality gets burnt up because you're not there. It's just you're not there. And that's why Chazal tell us, Kol HaKoyeh is Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah. Because your whole connection with Hashem, which is a fruit of the personality of the person that works for years, just flies away. Now, I think, my dear audience, you appreciate why I start off by saying I'd rather not talk about this issue. Because I look in the mirror and I say, who are you talking to? I mean, who are you trying to scare? But I'm just relating to you information of how terrible it is to be in kas. Now, why can't we conquer our kas? Why can't we conquer our kas? And let me tell you why. The reason why we can't conquer our kas is because kas is something so absurd. Excuse the expression, so stupid. Why should I get angry? Now, when I get angry, I'm burning up. And then when I'm not angry, I say to myself, you have to be careful tomorrow not to get angry. I'm not going to get angry tomorrow. I'm not crazy. Why should I get angry? We don't watch ourselves from kas. Because it's so absurd in our eyes, we're not careful. This is called, in the lashon of the tefillah, of our davening, V'hoser soto milfoneinu mi'achareinu. There's two kinds of Yetzirah. There's the Yetzirah that comes from the front. Milfoneinu. He attacks you from the front. Sometimes you're on the phone, and the lady on the other side is talking, you know, a real juicy Lashon Hara. And you know that it's wrong, and you can't close your mouth. He's looking at you and sticking out his tongue and says, I gotcha. That's called the Sotan milfoneinu. And then there's a Satan Ma'achreinu. You're walking in the street, doesn't even occur to you. And he jumps from the back, and before you know it, you're on the floor. You walk home in a good mood, and then someone opens his mouth with some kind of an insult, and before you know it, you burst it. That's called Sotan Me'acharenu. And that this is the mashal of kas. We would be careful not to get in kas if we would walk, and we know that we have to be careful. But we don't have to be careful. Why should I get in kas? What you know? What did he say that I should get in kas? And we get in kas, and it happens to us over and over again. And what is the way how to solve this problem? Because again, as I was saying, if kas and all midas royas is a problem of just, you know, of how to act nicely, of midas tovus, etc. So, you know, but if we would look at kas with the right eye, that getting a kas like eating chazer. So you're careful. In a kitchen, when you see a milcha kaspoon on the fleshika side, you know, is there any avera of keeping a milcha kaspoon on the fleshika side? There's no such avera. But the concept of bosa v'chola, of a meat and milk, is so serious in our eyes that we just see the spoon, we start trembling. We keep fences over fences. Because we realize that it's a law of Hashem, it's God's law. It's not something which is it's between the people. And we know that the seriousness of Hashem's mitzvahs, and therefore we're so careful. And that is how we have to look and approach the whole concept of midas, and especially of kas. Now, we have a klal, we have a rule in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, that every negative trait, every negative action that the Torah describes us, in the positive form, it is greater 500 times. 500 times is the exact number that I'm saying. The Gemara says, "Mi de toiva merubo." That's a klal. Mi de toiva merubo. We learn it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Poiket avoin avos." Hashem remembers the sins of the parents, al bonim, al bnei bonim, al shileshim, al ribeim, four generations. When it comes to the mitzvahs that parents do, we say, "Noitza chesed lo alofim." Hashem remembers 2,000 generations. Now 2,000 is 500 times more than 4. Alright? Mathematics? Higher mathematics. And the Gemara says, Mida Toiva Merub. Now, this is a klal that Bali Musar, that people who describe how to worship Hashem, use very, very often. Whenever we find in Chazal how Chazal describe bad traits, how terrible they are, how wicked they are, we always learn that when I do the opposite, in this same atmosphere, I do something good, it has the capacity and the greatness that was described in the negative way 500 times more. Now, one of the most famous examples is Kibud Av V'Em. As I described, Kibud Av V'Em is something which is Chomer Shebechamuris. We have to be extremely careful not to, and the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Orur Makle Ove V'Imoy. It's a Pasuk. Orur makle ove v'imoy. Is there anybody who knows how to translate the word makle? Cursed should be someone who is makle ove v'imoy. No, absolutely not. Makle is not a word of curse. It's a word of kalon. Kalon means to give shame. In other words, the tape recorder will not say what I'm doing. If you have an old mother, and she becomes very nudgy, and she wants to do this, and she wants this, and when this one, she wants this, and this wants this, and one of the children said to the other one, it's a curse from Hashem's mouth. It's a curse from Hashem's mouth. It's, the Rambam describes it as such, that you make some kind of a hint that this person isn't all honorable. Now, if Hashem gave a curse with his mouth for the smallest hint of disrespect to a parent, so we say that every time a child gives honor to a parent, it has a blessing from Hashem's mouth 500 times more the capacity of the tahoim, of the how shall I describe it, of that curse.